Psalm 134 is the last of the Psalms of Ascent. What that means is it is the final psalm that was specifically written for the purpose of proclaiming ascent truth as one ascends up to worship God at the festivals in Jerusalem. So these are millennial songs. These are songs that people will sing when they ascend up to Jerusalem to worship the temple when Jesus Christ is reigning on earth. So this is the final psalm to end the series. Now, this final psalm is addressed primarily to the priests. It anticipates a time when there's no cessation whatsoever in the praise and worship of God at the temple. In other words, during the millennium, the temple will be a place of constant worship day and night. This particular psalm is like a doxology that is to be sung when gathering together to worship God. And the final ascent psalm is a call for God's people to bless God and a call for God to bless his people. The ascent series started in Psalm 120, and the focus was on crying to the Lord in trouble. The series ends with a focus on blessing and praising the Lord. So the psalms have ascended from the trouble of the people to the majesty of God and the perpetual worship of God. Only two psalms that begin with the word behold, Psalm 133 and 134. The first psalm spoke of looking at the amazing unity of the gathering together of the family of God. This psalm speaks of looking at God and worshiping God and the privilege of having a relationship with him. By using the word behold, the writer means look at this. Come, think about this. Meditate on this. In other words, look at this psalm. Take notice of what it's saying. This is important. This is apparently something God takes note of when his people gather to worship. Now, it's clear that the key word of the psalm is bless. It occurs three times in three verses. And this particular Hebrew word carries with it the idea of literally bending one's knees before God in an attitude of reverence, which adores God and celebrates and praises the greatness of God and then asks for his blessings. So real worship and praise of God is based on proper deep thinking about God. And this kind of praise is not some light, fluffy, or shallow hype that's emotional. One day when God's people gather to worship God, they will all be thinking very seriously about what they're doing and thinking. There will never be any thought of trying to bring God down to our level, but we should raise our level to exalt him. And God wants us meditating on the theme of gathering together into his presence to worship him. Now think for a moment of the concept psalms that present about God. He's got a sovereign rule. God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth. And that's a concept we need when we gather to worship God. So there are some messages here that are presented in this psalm. That first of all, God's people are to bless the Lord. Look at verse 1. Come, bless the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. It's important because it's not just leadership are called to do this. This is a challenge to all of God's people to actually bless God. One must acknowledge who he is and what he is. And it's the expectation of God that when his people gather together, they will honor and worship him and they'll reverence him. And as we've said, the idea of blessing the Lord is the idea of praising God and worshiping God while reverently thinking about attitudes that are accurate about God. Public worship should be about exalting God. This really should be part of the reason we go to public worship. We go to praise him for who he is and all he's done. So many people go to church for what they can get. In some respects, that's a good thing. It is good to go to church with the idea that I'm going to be fed God's word and fellowship with God's people. But there should also be a sense in which God's people gather to praise and worship him. And then all servants of the Lord are to bless the Lord. There's no ethnic or racial or gender bias in this. There's no age discrimination here. All servants of God are called to gather to worship him. So when we have these things, we need to understand that all servants are to bless the Lord. Always been and always will be true that the servants of the Lord are in the best position to bless the Lord. They're the ones who know God. They're the ones who are sensitive to the word and will of God, and they are the people in position to bless the Lord. Lost people are in no position to worship God and bless the Lord. Lost people can go to church, they can sing hymns, they can sing in a choir, they can give money, they can do good works, and they can listen to messages, but they are not in any position to worship the Lord. We may notice that all servants are challenged to bless the Lord. Apostle Paul identified himself as a servant of God and also a servant of the church of God. So this challenge is for all who go to church. They have a responsibility to worship God. And then all priests who work the night shift are to bless the Lord. There were priests who were responsible to praise the Lord, even if they were on the night crew. And according to 1 Chronicles 23, 28 through 32, there were Levitical priests who had the responsibility to carry out their ministries at night during the evening hours. There were priests assigned to work the all-night shift at the temple. It was often a lonely job because most of the people weren't there at night, but they still could worship God and bless God for their responsibility. In fact, they had a responsibility to do that. And people who leaders have the responsibility to worship God even if they are not in the mainstream of the public eye. There are people who do not feel important or significant. They don't have limelight responsibilities at church, but the one thing that one can always do, and the one thing one has the responsibility to do, is to bless the Lord. There's something to be said for people being able to gather on a Sunday morning to worship God. The first day of the week, people should be able to go to worship and sing and hear God's word and truth proclaimed there. And then God's people are to lift up their hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Look at verse 2. Lift your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Lifting one's hands was a symbolic gesture that were closely associated to offering prayers and sacred praise to the Lord. And three things in the book of Psalms, it was symbolic for one being a person of prayer, it was symbolic for being a person of praise, and it was symbolic for being a person of blessing. The hands of a priest were to be holy and dedicated to sacred things and consecrated to the Lord. And when God's people gather to bless the Lord, they need to be prayerful and praiseful, and they need to be clean. And this is the way the church should be. It should be a place of prayer and a place where God's people and God's person are exalted. You see, we are the sanctuary of God today, and we are all priests unto the Lord. Our body is the temple and the Holy Spirit, and we are to be people who pray to God and praise God. But God is able to bless his people. Look at verse 3. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. At the beginning of this psalm, the people were told to bless the Lord. And as they do, they learn that God is able to bless them. As we obey and bless the Lord, he is able to mercifully bless us. We are to worship God with the idea that God is able to bless his people. If you look at that pronoun you, it's a singular pronoun. God is able to bless you as an individual. God is able to bless his people. One who gathers together at corporate worship with the idea of praising God is one who stands in a position for God to bless him. So there's the context of this. When people, God's people, gather together to worship God carefully and reverently, and they're meditating on truth that God revealed in his word, they're in a position to ask God for blessings. God is able to bless his people from Zion. God is able to bless his people. And why is he mentioned Zion? Well, Zion refers to Israel, Jerusalem, the place where the temple sits. God is able to bless his people out of Zion, which means he's able to bless his people who live in Israel, in Jerusalem, and are worshiping at the temple. And that's an amazing point. God takes the nation of Israel and does this work, and he's sovereign who made heaven and earth. So it's moving from a location to beyond. Someone may say the idea that God could bless Israel in Jerusalem, it's just out there. Well, this is the God who made heaven and earth. He spoke them into existence, and he can speak his blessings into existence. And we're talking about worshiping the great creator. When we gather to worship God, praise God, and reverence God with a serious mind that wants to understand the word of God, we are setting the stage for blessings of God. It's clearly taught in Psalm 134.